Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, entitled Attack by Chandavega on the City of Paranjana, Text 13. Chandavega iti kyato Gandhava di patinripa Gandhavas tasya balena Sastyutara shatatrayam Chandavega iti kyato Gandhavadi patinripa Gandhavas tasya balena Sastyutara shatatrayam Chandavega iti kyato Gandhavadi patinripa Gandhavastasya balena Sastyutara shatatrayam Chandavega,
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 iti,
thus,
Kyataha,
celebrated,
Gandhava,
belonging to the Gandhava
loka,
Adipati,
king,
Nripa,
O king,
Gandhavaha,
other Gandhavas,
Tasya,
his,
Balinaha,
very powerful soldiers,
Sasti,
60,
Uttara,
surpassing,
Shata,
100,
Trayam,
3.
Translation purport by His
Divine Grace, Isa
Bhaktivedanta Swami
Srila Prabhupada
Ki.
O king,
in Gandhava
Loka,
there is a king
named Chandavega.
Under
him, there are
360
very powerful
Gandhava soldiers. Please repeat. O King.
O King.
In Gandhava Loka.
In Gandhava Loka.
There is a king.
There is a king.
Named Chandavega.
Named Chandavega.
Under him.
There are
360.
Very powerful Gandhava soldiers.
Third point. Time is figuratively described here as Chandavega. Since time and tide wait for no man, time is herein called Chandavega, which means very swiftly passing by, very swiftly passing away. As time passes, it is calculated in terms of years. 1 year contains 360 days, and the soldiers of Chandavega herein mentioned represent these days. Time passes swiftly. Chandavega's powerful soldiers of Gandhava Loka very swiftly carry away all the days of our life. As the sun rises and sets, it snatches away the balance of our lifespan. Thus, as each day passes, each one of us loses some of life's duration. It is therefore said that the duration of one's life cannot be saved. But if one is engaged in devotional service, his time cannot be taken away by the sun. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.17, Ayo harati vaipumsam ujanaschan chayanaso. The conclusion is that if one wants to make himself immortal, he should give up sense gratification. By engaging oneself in devotional service, one can gradually enter into the eternal kingdom of God. Mirages and other illusory things are sometimes called Gandhavas. Our losing our lifespan is taken as advancement of age. The imperceptible passing away of the days of life is figuratively referred to in this verse as Gandhavas. As explained in later verses, such Gandhavas are both male and female. This indicates that both men and women lose their lifespan imperceptibly by the force of time, which is herein described as Chandavega. Translation. O King, in Gandhava Loka there is a king named Chandavega. Under him there are 360 very powerful Gandhava soldiers. Om Agyana Tramandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshu Umalatam Jena Tasme Shri Gurveena Maha Shri Titanya Manobistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Sabhidandikam Nasta Presho Badresho Nicham Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad-yuttama-sloke bhakti-bhaviti-naistaki. Take this opportunity to offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavas here and beg their mercy that we can say something beneficial for everyone. Vanchakalp-tarubhisha kripa-sindhivyevacha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So I don't feel qualified to sit here among so many great Vaishnavas. So please give me your blessings, bless this conditioned soul, that we can speak something beneficial for everyone. So here Srila Prabhupada, he states, he's talking about time, the verse in Srila Prabhupada's purport is talking about time. Krishna says, Mrityu Sarva Harashtaham, I am all devouring death. And he also says, I am time, I am the destroyer of the worlds. So this is also a form of Krishna, inconceivable time. And death, all living entities are faced with death. And as we hear, Srila Prabhupada taught us that we can either willingly surrender to Krishna through this life, or if we don't surrender to Krishna, we're forced to surrender to Krishna in the form of death. As Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a cat, she has little kittens and she picks them up by the scruff of the neck, and the kittens, although they're in the jaw of the mother cat, they're very feeling very protected, and you see them, they're like purring away, they're very happy. But the same jaws of the cat for a rat means death. So this is, Srila Prabhupada compared this to the non-devotees and the devotees. The jaw of death and time, inconceivable time, which is taking away our life, is very horrific for the non-devotee, like the jaws of the rat, because he doesn't know where he is going to in the next life, or he doesn't even know if he has a next life beyond this one. So he's very fearful of losing everything, not understanding where he's going to beyond this life. But time and death for a devotee is for an advanced devotee is very, very joyful. He welcomes death because he understands this is a chance in which I'm getting closer to going back home, back to the spiritual world. Or at least if I don't go back to the spiritual world, if I sincerely try to always immerse myself in hearing and chanting and glorifying Krishna, then if I don't go back to the spiritual world, I'll get a chance to take birth in the family of devotees in my next life, which is very, very glorious position. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed like this: "My Lord, even if you want me to take birth again in this material world, I pray that it may be in the house of your devotee, even as an insignificant insect." So even a pure devotee like Bhaktivinoda Thakur praying like this, as long as he can get the association of devotees and have the chance to render devotional service, the devotees don't mind coming back to this material world. So here Srila Prabhupada quotes his famous saying, time and tide wait for no man. Time and tide, like the waves of the ocean, it's called a tide. It's always coming in, the waves are coming in. There's no end to the waves. And you know, time or the tide of the ocean doesn't wait for any man. Even the greatest king, even the greatest conquerors of the world cannot stop time, or they cannot stop, you know, like the waves of the ocean. Even the greatest king may be there on the shore of the ocean trying to order the waves to stop, but they will keep coming. So similarly with time. And that's the nature of this material world, that all living entities have a beginning and an end. Even Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam that from the tiniest, smallest living entity up to the greatest living entity, Lord Brahma, all are struggling very hard in this material world, and all living entities have to die, even Lord Brahma. And as Krishna says in the second chapter, Jatasi Hidravo Matru, Dhruva Janma Mitasicha, Tasmat Aparihayate Natam Sochitamahasi. One who has taken his birth in this world is sure to die, and after death one is sure to take birth again in this material world. Therefore you should not lament for this, and carry out your prescribed duty. So as devotees, we understand that this body is temporary, has beginning and end. It has six changes: birth, growth, maintenance for some time, producing offspring, gradually dwindling, and then dying. But the devotees understand we are not this body, we are the eternal spirit soul. Jiva Surahupa, Surupahaya, Krishna Nityadas. We are eternally the loving servants of Krishna. So we're trying to purify our consciousness and become Krishna conscious, so that we can become free from this bodily conception, free from the attachment to this bodily conception, become free from fear of death or time taking our lifespan away. Even Srila Prabhupada says, Chandavega means very swiftly passing away. What to speak of our short life, even Lord Brahma's life, even though it seems inconceivable and practically eternal, his life is compared to be like bubbles in the ocean. The rising of one Brahma and then his demise and the rising of another Brahma are compared to be like the bubbles in the ocean coming and going. Lord Brahma, we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Payantam Mahayat Brahmano Vidur, that 1,000 times the 1,000 cycles of the 4 yugas put together comprise only one day of Lord Brahma's life. Kali Yuga, 432,000 years. Dwapara Yuga, 864. Treta Yuga, 1,292,000. And Satya Yuga, 1,728,000 years. So altogether, these 4 yugas together multiplied by 1,000 times, that's just one day of Lord Brahma. And Srila Prabhupada says he lives for 100 of such years. His lifespan is 311,040,000,000,000 years. So to us, this seems practically eternal. It's inconceivable. But his life, every breath of Mahavishnu, is one life of Brahma goes by in every exhalation of Lord Narayan or Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu breathes in, then Lord Brahma, that's the end of his life. And Lord Narayan or Mahavishnu is just an incarnation or partial incarnation of Krishna. And as we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Avatana Puna Avatano Jana Mamo Pecha Tukuntayam Puna Janmana Vijate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. For one who attains my eternal abode never takes birth again in this temporary material world. And as Krishna says, this this divine energy is very difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So it's very difficult to cross over the ocean of death unless the only formula is being Krishna conscious, taking to this process of bhakti yoga, surrendering our life, our words, our actions, our thoughts fully to Krishna, following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, following the instructions of our spiritual master. We've been given this such a simple process, simply chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dancing in ecstasy, taking prasadam, preaching Krishna consciousness, serving the deities. Such a glorious, ecstatic, simple process. Srila Prabhupada said like this, that material life is static, becomes very hackneyed and boring. Material sense gratification, like chewing the chew. Little kids, they have chewing gum. They chew the sugar out of it, and they take it out, they stick it under the table. Later on in the day, they pick it out, put it in their mouth again. But there's no taste left. That's like material happiness. Whereas spiritual life is an annam buddhi vadanam, ever-increasing ocean of happiness and bliss. As Srila Vijayapati, he said, Tatala Shakati, that material happiness of love, friendship and society is like a drop of water in the desert. If you're dying of thirst in the desert, you get one drop. How's that going to quench your thirst? But Krishna consciousness is an ever-increasing ocean of bliss. Imagine a whole ocean of nectar, bliss. That's what we're diving into through this process of Krishna consciousness. And so for the devotee, even though his physical body maybe is growing older, he's actually becoming younger spiritually because he's getting closer to going back home, back to Godhead. Materially, no one can avoid these miseries of death, birth, old age and disease. And we should not think that as aspiring devotees, Srila Prabhupada said, no, we're aspiring to become devotees, that we're free from these miseries of the body. We probably all have experienced even some of our devotee friends passing away, and even some of our great leaders in the ISKCON movement leaving this world even at a young age. No. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, so many of these great souls, even leaving in their 50s like this. And maybe we know devotees even sometimes leaving this world in their 20s, 30s. There's no guarantee that just because we're in the devotional path that we will even live a long life, so-called long life. Even 70 or 80 years is very, very short. Even there was one story of Vyasadeva's grandfather. He went to Vyasadeva and he said, I don't want to die, I'm afraid of death. Can you stop my death? So Vyasadeva said, well, you have to see Yamaraj for that, and maybe he can stop your death. So Vyasadeva's grandfather said, will you come with me to see Yamaraj? So Vyasadeva accompanied him and they went to see Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, I'm actually not the controller of death. I carry out one's pious and impious activities and ordained the resultant action for all the living entities, but actually the Lord of Death, his name is Mahakala Purush, so we should go and see him. So together they all went there to see Mahakala Purush, and he said, well, actually I'm the Lord of Death, but actually no, you have to see Chitragupta. Was it Chitragupta? His name is Chitragupta. And actually, he's the one who can possibly stop your death. So Vyasadeva's grandfather said, well, I want all of you to come together to see Chitragupta. So they all went together and they came to see Chitragupta. And he's like the scribe. He has all the accounts of the living entities, all their activities, and what their destiny is beyond this life. And so he was looking through his books, and he said that actually Vyasadeva's father is not going to die. He's going to avoid death. And then everyone was very happy. The mission was successful. And then Chitragupta said, but wait a minute, actually it says that he will avoid death if he's not accompanied by Vyasadeva, by Mahakala Purush, and by Yamaraj. And immediately on that moment, Vyasadeva's father, he dropped dead. Vyasadeva's grandfather, he dropped dead. And then Srila Prabhupada tells some funny stories about Yamaraj and some people trying to avoid death. One man, he like covered himself in stool, and he was thinking, Yamaraj is not going to come and get me. He won't be able to bear the smell. But in time, Yamaraj came and took him away. And some other man, there was a whole lot of statues, and he put himself in amongst these statues and stood very still, thinking that Yamaraj won't be able to tell which one is not a statue. Yamaraj came along and immediately took him away. So we hear, no, even Lord Brahma, he's not free from old age, disease and death. We hear even the demigods, they live a very fantastic life, but eventually old age catches up with them in death. But for someone like Lord Brahma, at least our Lord Brahma, he's a pure devotee. So when he leaves his body, he goes straight back along with his associates to the spiritual world. And there was another story of one great sage. His name was Lomasha Rishi, and he was like a very, very hairy sage, and he lived for a very long time. Somehow, his lifespan was, for every hair on his body, it was like the life of Lord Brahma. Very inconceivable. And he was in the forest, and he was chanting Hare Krishna, and his disciples came along and said, "Master, you know, you're here in the open, amongst the elements, there's so much rain and cold and heat. Why don't we build you a little house, some shelter?" And he said, "Don't worry about it. Life is very temporary." So Srila Prabhupada said, these are the real problems of life. Janma mritya jara vyadi dukho doshana darshanam, as the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Everyone should, by our own experience and by seeing the experience of others, see that these are the real problems of life. The materialistic people are thinking the real problems of life are that I don't have enough money, I'm not enjoying enough sense gratification, I don't have enough fame. But actually the real problems of life are that we're undergoing this continuous cycle of birth and death again and again in this material world. Sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a worm in stool. And even the worms in stool, in every form of life, the living entity is thinking himself satisfied and happy. Even Srila Prabhupada said the worms in stool, you can pull them out of the stool and they'll just crawl back in. They're thinking this is a very comfortable home. So whatever situation, whatever living entity we see in this material world, they're all thinking they're very nicely situated. They have their different pleasures, the family, children, friends. Srila Prabhupada gives also the example of a hog. You take a hog and his pleasure is eating stool. But you give him some rasgulla and halva, he'll turn his nose up, walk away and go for the stool. So, and Srila Prabhupada says that we have experience, past experience of our fathers, our grandfathers growing old and dying. Why is it not going to happen to us? And Yudhisthira Maharaj, he said this is the greatest wonder of the world, that every man is seeing his father, grandfather, great-grandfather die, but he's thinking somehow or other it won't happen to me. Like a lot of people in the modern day and age, they have faith in the scientists, that the scientists will invent some cure to stop death. But the scientists have been saying like this for generations or hundreds of years or thousands of years. In the future, we will stop death or we will create eternal life. Srila Prabhupada says, simply a post-dated check. In the future, they're going on saying, in the future, if they can stop death or stop the aging process, then why don't they do it now? But Srila Prabhupada says, even these scientists and philosophers, they're also subject to death and time. So, and Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse from the Bhagavatam, Deha Patra Kaladri Dishu Atmasanyesh Vasad Supi, that a person is devoid of atmatattva, they do not inquire into the real problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, wife, and children, although sufficiently experienced, till they do not see their inevitable destruction. So this is the nature in this material world, that we become very attached to the temporary fallible soldiers. We think they can give us shelter or protection from death or time. But even the best well-built body, healthy body, or the most beautiful wife, or the most faithful children, or the greatest scientist, no, the best police force, the greatest army in the world cannot protect us from death. Just like there's a story of a man, he's been chased by a tiger and he runs to a cliff. And he looks over the cliff and down the bottom there's some crocodiles. And he's thinking, well, I can't go down there to get away from the tiger, and I can't go back on the land. I'll get eaten by the tiger. So he looks up and there's a tree hanging over the cliff. And there's a bee's hive there. And out of the bee's hive is coming some honey. And he's hanging on for his dear life to this tree so he doesn't fall. And he catches the honey on his tongue. And he's thinking, that's amazing honey. I've never tasted such wonderful honey. He becomes intoxicated. He forgets his impending death. And at any moment, he's going to lose his grip and fall to the crocodiles. So this is like us in the material world. We become intoxicated by a little bit of pleasure, so-called pleasure, sense gratification, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, which is very temporary and very insignificant compared to the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. So we become so intoxicated, we forget our impending death and where are we going to in our next life. Srila Prabhupada would say, we're already intoxicated when you take birth in this world. The little child, he's pampered by the parents and the relatives, and he's thinking, oh, so nice. Everyone's looking after me so nicely. And Srila Prabhupada says, we throw more intoxication into our consciousness by becoming absorbed in sense gratification, especially meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex. These activities completely destroy our aptitude for spiritual life and our spiritual understanding. And as Srila Prabhupada would say, that unless we take to Krishna consciousness, this is the only way in which we can actually free ourselves from the cycle of birth and death. Following the principles, the four regulative principles, chanting at least 16 rounds on our beads every day, engaging fully in Krishna consciousness, this is the principle of real freedom, attaining eternal life, attaining Krishna, reviving our pure Krishna consciousness, our love for Krishna. Iha yasha kalaya dasha kamana manasagira nikalas vapyavasta sujivan mukta suchitin. A person who has engaged his mind, his words, his actions in the service of Krishna is considered a liberated soul even while living in this material body, in this material world. But if we don't take to Krishna consciousness, then we're all like prisoners. Srila Prabhupada said, we're like prisoners in this material world. You go to a prison, and some prisoners may be in a very bare cell. Other prisoners, in a cell with carpet and air conditioning and heating and iPods and TVs. And the one in that cell, he's thinking he's doing really well. May have golden handcuffs, the other one's got iron handcuffs. But it's all relative. He's still bound up to the laws of the prison. So that's the nature of the material world. Some people are completely suffering in the mode of ignorance, others so-called enjoying in the mode of goodness. And they're thinking life is very nice and they're very happy. But they're still bound to the laws of material nature. And they're still forced to take another birth in this material world. Of course, even as aspiring devotees, we know we have these bodies which get disease, old age, death. But we have the opportunity of getting out of this material world once and for all in one short lifetime by just giving. Prabhupada says, for millions of lifetimes you've given your life to sense gratification in so many species of life. Now give this one life to Krishna and make a solution to all problems and go back home, back to Godhead, where every word is a song, every step is a dance, and the favorite attendant of Krishna is his flute, and Krishna is Radharani is Krishna's eternal lover, and he's surrounded by thousands of gopis and Lakshmi serving him with great love, and Krishna's performing amazing pastimes like we're singing in the song Jai Radha Madhava. He's He's surrounded by thousands of loving gopis, his eternal lover Radharani. He's always accompanied by his eternal lover Radharani, and he's lifting Govardhan Hill, and he's the darling of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Braj. And he's always walking along the Yamuna River playing on his flute, attracting all living entities. So there's that famous quote, I'm not sure who it's by, but says, who's that? Okay. Says that if you don't want to become attracted to that loving, that most lovable person, Krishna, then you should not go down to the Yamuna River. Because if you go down to the Yamuna River and hear Krishna's flute playing, your heart will be changed forever. You'll become eternally attracted to Krishna. So Śrīla Prabhupāda quotes this verse from the Bhagavatam second canto that Ayaharati Vaipum Sam Ujjanastan Chiyanasam. That the sun, both by the rising and setting of the sun, one's lifespan is decreased, except for one is utilizing his time to glorify the name, fame, pastimes, qualities of the all good personality of Godhead Krishna. So this should be our business, that actually if we want to become free from the agent of time and cross over the hurdle of death and go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world, we have to take to this process of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, preaching the glories of Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, Janma Kama Chamedivam Ivam Yoveti Tatvata. One who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities does not, upon leaving this material body at death, take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So this is the process. Hearing Krishna's pastimes, hearing and chanting the holy names of Krishna, hearing about the qualities, the pastimes of Krishna, hearing about the forms of Krishna, and preaching the glories of Krishna. And in this way, we can practically experience that we're becoming enlivened, enlightened, purified by this process. Has practically experienced the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto states like this, that devotion to Krishna, direct transcendental knowledge of our relationship with Krishna and Krishna's position, and detachment from those things which take us away from Krishna, these things come automatically with every step we take in serving Krishna. Just like a hungry man says, Tushti Pushti Shud Apiyo Nagasham. That like a hungry man, when he tastes nice food, especially prasadam, he feels pleasure, nourishment, and freedom from hunger. It's automatically experienced. So, Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna, transcendental knowledge of Krishna, and detachment from the material world, these things come automatically with every step we take in devotional service. So, and we have to take up the banner of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is this Sangatan movement, preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, we've been saved somehow, you know, by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the pure devotees and Krishna. Even the most fallen souls in Kali Yuga like ourselves, Jagai and Muddais, we're being saved by this Sangatan movement. Srila Prabhupada said, 500 years ago there was just a few Jagai and Muddais. Now, Kali Yuga has increased so much, this movement is saving wholesale Jagai and Muddais. So similarly, as we've been saved, we have to try and save others. This is the greatest mercy of the Vaishnavas, is to give this Krishna consciousness to everyone. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by... what magic have you done? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, by giving my students Krishna consciousness, I'm saving them from death. And I'm saving them from addictions to all their sinful activities. There was also one story, Srila Prabhupada was with his disciples, and one magician, he was performing some magic tricks, and then he sat down, and then Srila Prabhupada said, "Can you stop death?" And the magician said, "No, I cannot do that." He was very humbled. And Srila Prabhupada said, "By giving Krishna consciousness to my students, I'm stopping them from taking another death in this material world." And previously they were addicted to so many sinful activities, and no one could stop them performing these sinful activities. Even, you know, so much drug addiction, the big governments in different countries is trying to stop these problems like drug addiction, spending so much money to try and stop people addicted to drugs, but they cannot do it. But Srila Prabhupada, by giving the simple process of Krishna consciousness, thousands of people were coming to his lotus feet, surrendering unto him, and willingly, very happily, giving up these sinful activities. So we have to also be in this mood of giving Krishna consciousness to the fallen conditioned souls. We're also conditioned souls, we're struggling, we're aspiring to be devotees, but there's so many millions of conditioned souls out there waiting for the mercy of Krishna. And if we spread Krishna consciousness through preaching vigorously, distributing these books, Prasadam, Harinam, Sangatam, millions of other people can get in touch with Krishna consciousness. So we have to be in this mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivodvaji Paradaracha Vataranyas, that, "My Lord, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. My only concern is for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans to enjoy so-called happiness of society, friendship and love. My only concern is for them." And he said, "I see many saintly, so-called saintly people living in the forests and the Himalayas. They're only concerned about their own spiritual welfare. They're not concerned about the conditioned souls suffering in these big cities all around the world." Prahlad Maharaj said, "My concern is more for going to these bigger cities and taking, along with myself, taking all these people back home, back to Godhead." He said, "Without the mercy of your lotus feet, my Lord, they cannot be happy." And Srila Prabhupada said that in his purport to these verses, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The members of the Krishna consciousness must be convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, he's given us this very simple process to solve all the problems of life, and in one short lifetime we can actually go back to Godhead. We can actually develop pure love for Krishna even in this one life, become a fully Krishna conscious liberated soul even in this material world, what to speak of going back to the spiritual world. Goloka Premadana Hari Nama Sangatana Rati Na Janmila Kenatai. That this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's directly transported from the spiritual world. Krishna's names are non-different from himself. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name is as good as Krishna. It's full of all the transcendental qualities of Krishna. It's not a mature vibration. We're getting direct association of Krishna through chanting his holy names. The more we become purified, the more we realize this. And the more we give Krishna consciousness to others, the more we will become enlivened and purified ourselves. So we just have to have full faith in the name of Krishna, and like Srila Prabhupada's books, the potency of spreading Krishna consciousness. Have faith in Krishna's holy names, have faith in Srila Prabhupada's books, that these wonderful incarnations of Krishna can solve everyone's problems in life. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Melbourne, and he asked Gopinath Acharya Prabhu, a Prabhupada disciple, "What do you say when you sell these books?" Gopinath was quite shy and he said, "Oh, I say it's about yoga and meditation." Srila Prabhupada said, "You should say these books are giving the solutions to all the problems of people's lives in this world. So we should have faith in Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada giving these wonderful forms of mercy in the form of his books, the Holy Name, the Association of Devotees, and we should take this out to the people in general. And Krishna can arrange amazing things to happen when we endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness. Just like one time I was down in Melbourne and somehow or other I had to do certain things and I got out late on Sangatan and I was going to one other town just out of Melbourne, Geelong. And I got there, it was late in the afternoon and I was thinking, you know, what can I do? There's only a few hours left, but I'll try and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And I went to a bookshop and immediately the guy was interested in all of Prabhupada's books and he took like $2,000 worth of Srila Prabhupada's books. And I met up with my Sangatan partner who had been there the whole day. And he'd been struggling just on the street and he was very enlivened to hear how this man took so many books. And even like people like butchers, they buy books. Sometimes, you know, one lady, I remember I went to a butcher shop, I was going shop to shop, and I showed her the Krishna book. And she just handed over $20 with her blood-stained hand and she took the Krishna book. So we just don't know. Even Christians, people proclaiming to be Christians. One Christian lady, she bought the Bhagavad Gita. She seemed very interested. She gave like, you know, $30. And she said, do you know why I'm getting this book? Because I don't want anyone else to get this book. Another Christian lady said, I don't know if I can take this book. I'm a Christian. And I said, well, maybe just give a donation. And she gave like $100. And I said, I think you should take the book. So she took the book. So we should try and preach in all circumstances. My wife, she's always pushing me. Before she had children, no, I'd be driving the van. We'd stop at service stations. And I'd get out, fill up the van, and she'd jump out and immediately engage people in buying books at the service station. Now it's a bit harder for her with two children, but she's always still pushing me, you know, whether you're when you're at the airport waiting for the plane, when you're on the plane. So, you know, I'm distributing books at the airports. When I'm on the plane, she's pushing me, get up, as soon as you get on the plane, get up, go down the aisle. So I'm going up and down the aisles, distributing books. One plane from Gold Coast to Kuala Lumpur, I was doing quite well, but they were like Australian stewards and stewardesses, so after some time they came along and told me to sit down, you can't do this. When I got on the next plane from Singapore to like Calcutta, they were like all Indian or Singaporean stewards and they didn't have a problem, so I managed to get around the whole plane. And one lady even, she said, I was following her around the plane hoping to get a book. She met me at the airport in Calcutta afterwards and she was like a yoga teacher and she got a Bhagavad Gita also. So we just don't know. Originally I met my wife at the university. I was a brahmacharya and I was selling books and she bought some books from me. And I think she got a Krishna book and something else and she gave whatever money she had. And she was so happy, she wanted to like give me a big hug. And as a brahmacharya I said, sorry, no, I can't give you a hug. So I pulled away and in her mind she was thinking, what a jerk. And later on somehow she joined the temple and we got married. And quite a funny story, even like when she was still at university, she was so fired up to do books. I was going to India and she said, can I get some books while you're going to India? So I gave her a whole box of books and by the time I got back, she sold all the books. And she joined the temple. And then she was, her spiritual master came, she was inspired by Bir Krishna Goswami, he came to Sydney. And he said, why don't you come to Fiji, I'm going on a tour. And she took like a whole suitcase of books. Like she had to pay extra money, it was overweight. She took like 500 or 600 small books in a suitcase, and in a couple of weeks she sold them all. in Fiji. Anyway, it's a long story. Somehow or other, we got married. But anyway, so she's still pushing me. You know, she likes to travel, and we take the kids, and so it's very enlivening to have someone, even though she can't do much book distribution now, but she's always pushing me to try and maintain a book distribution. And just one last story. My father, he gave us a lot of money to buy a house after we got married. So we bought a house, and then we sold that house and we moved up to New Govardhan. We built a house there, and so we used the money that he gave us selling that house, and we put it into the new house. But we still had a loan, and I was thinking, you know, after some time I was thinking, oh, no, such a loan, it's like you're paying so much money to the bank. How am I going to like pay this off quickly? And by doing book distribution, you know, it's like it's hard to make a lot of profit just trying to maintain yourself on book distribution. Anyway, I was thinking maybe, you know, my father, he said to me at one time, he said, well, you won't have to worry about your future. No, you'll be looked after financially. So I was thinking, well, he's obviously still got money in the will for me. And I was thinking, you know, is there any way, you know, maybe he could help me out before he passes away, give me some more money. And some devotees were saying, well, maybe you should go and see him and like somehow see if he'll help you out. So I was thinking, I don't want to ask him for money, because it said, if you ask people for money, they'll give you advice. If you ask someone for advice, they might give you money. So I was thinking, I'm not going to ask him for money. I'll just go and reveal my mind how, you know, I'll go and spend a few days with him. A friend of mine, Parama Karuna from Australia, he was saying, no, it was like in the marathon time, he was saying, even if you take a few days off the marathon, you lose a few days of doing the Christmas marathon, he may give you a lot of money, go and spend some time with him. So I thought, yeah, that's good advice. So in the Christmas marathon, I took a few days off, I went to his house, and I went for a drive on his farm. He's got a big farm. It's like a cattle farm. He raises cows for slaughter. And so I went for a drive with him, and I just revealed my mind, said, well, you know, we've got this house, but I've still got quite a substantial loan. I'm sort of struggling to pay it off very quickly. It's so much money we have to pay to the bank and interest. And, no, the times are getting tough in the world. There's an economic crisis. And he was sort of, you know, sympathizing with me, and he said, well, how would you be if you're $150,000 less? And I was saying, well, yeah, that'd be very nice, $150,000 less on the loan, because our loan was like over $200,000. And so immediately, like, he said, I'll give you a check for $150,000 to help you, you know, bring down your loan. And he said, your mother is not very happy. Now, obviously, he'd spoken about this before. He said, your mother's not very happy. She thinks she should sweat it out. You got this house. You should pay it off. You should sweat it out. But he said, I want to help you out. I'm going to give you this money. So he gave me all that money. Just wrote out a check, and I put it in the bank and brought the loan right down. So in that way, even though he's raising cows for slaughter, he's helping the preaching. But, you know, giving so much money so that, you know, we don't have to pay so much to the bank, and we can pay off the house and utilize. We have a nice house and we use it for doing lots of programs and inviting all the senior preachers to come there and do programs. So anyway, sorry if I've gone on a bit long, but if anyone has any questions or comments, take a few minutes for questions.
In the reports, Prabhupada mentioned about 360 days as the Gandavega, 360. But the modern calendar says 365. Is this Vedic calculation of the days?
Yeah, it says 360 here, but we're here 365. 365 days in here, but it says 360 here. So you're asking why? What's the difference? I'm not sure of that, but Prabhupada says, isn't it a leap year, there's 360? A lunar calendar. Lunar calendar is 360 days?
It's a lunar calendar, and then every 3 years you have a Purusottama month, which makes up the difference of the actual 365 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Very nice class. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Okay.
I just wanted to say I was laughing when you talked about Vyasadeva's father, because in India...
Speak up a little.
I was laughing when you talked about Vyasadeva's father, because in India, you go from one bureaucrat to another and they pass the buck. So he took all the bureaucrats with him, all the different people who said they couldn't help. He went with them all, and that was his downfall.
Still wasn't successful.
I thought that was very funny.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopayamanandi.